Welcome back. We believe you were blessed by the previous episode. In this episode, George will be continuing on the series, Accessing Divine Help.
Previously, we talked about the place of the Word. We talked about the place of the Word in dealing in accessing divine help. Remember, we are in the series Accessing Divine Help. And when we are talking about accessing divine help, we are looking at ways we can access divine help. Praise the Lord. So the last time we talked about the place of the Word, and today we are going to be talking about the place of prayer. The place of prayer. You see, we are in a time where prayer has either been undermined or prayer has been abused. In the next teachings, you will get to see what I mean by prayer being abused. But in this teaching, you will understand what I mean by prayer being undermined. Because in the teaching about prayer, we begin to see the essence of prayer. In the teaching about prayer, we begin to see why we have to pray and how we ought to pray. I'm not promising you that this teaching is going to contain extensive details about prayer, because we are dealing with a topic here, accessing divine help. We will be starting with Philippians chapter 4 from verse 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 6 to 7. And the Bible says, "Don't worry about anything." Wow. Don't worry about anything. I think you've got to read this slowly. Don't worry about anything. Now, this means it's not appropriate for a believer to worry about any circumstances. It is not appropriate for a believer to worry about any situation. When the Bible says don't worry about anything, it means anything. It means anything you can think of. It doesn't matter how big the problem is. It doesn't matter how tough or bad the problem is. The Bible says don't worry about anything. And instead of getting worried, the Bible says pray about everything. I love this. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. The key words here is worry, anything, pray, everything. Now, about worry, the Bible says we shouldn't even think of it. When problem surfaces, the first approach a believer should give to the problem is to pray. Now, this is not possible when we begin to look at it from the human perspective. When we begin to look at it from what we feel, sometimes we are overwhelmed by a problem. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by a challenge. But we've got to keep this consciousness that what God requires of us is not to face problems with worry. Immediately you see yourself in a problem, immediately you see yourself in a challenge, the first thing you do is to pray. What does it mean to pray? I'm not going to bore you with a very long definition of prayer. I'm not going to bore you with Greek words and Hebrew words and all of that about prayer. To pray means to talk to God. To pray means to engage God. To pray means to be in conversation with God. So when the Bible says, don't worry about anything, instead, pray about everything. The Bible is simply saying, when you are faced with a problem, when you are faced with persecution, when you are faced with rejection, when you are faced with a certain failure, when you are faced with anything you don't understand, anything that is a problem to you, the Bible says, don't worry about it. What you've got to do is to talk to God about it. And then Paul continues to write here. He says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Hallelujah. Now, first of all, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And then again, it says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So when you see yourself in a problem, the first thing that should come to your mind is to talk to God about it. And in talking to God about it, you've got to talk to God about it in the mood of thanksgiving. In the mood of thanksgiving. Sometimes God has done a lot of things for us, even though we don't notice it. Sometimes the problem you are about telling God for has been settled in the spiritual realm. So when you are telling God about it, you are thanking God for delivering you out of it. Whatever the problem is, when you are telling God about it, you are thanking God about it. So about any challenge, don't worry. About any challenge, pray. About any challenge, talk to God. And about any challenge, thank God. It says, tell God what you need. What is it that you need? Talk to God about it. And then the Bible says here, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So when you are faced with a problem, what you've got to do is not to worry about it, but to pray, to tell God about it, and to thank him for all he has done. This reminds me of the statement of Jesus. Jesus said that when you pray, believe you have received it and you will have it. Believe you have received it and you will have it. And in the same way, Paul is writing here, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. The way to experience peace in the storm is to talk to God. And in talking to God, you don't talk to God with fear. You talk to God with the disposition of thanksgiving. If you want to stay at peace, if you want your heart to be at peace in any challenge you are facing, what you've got to do is to talk to God about it. And you're telling God about it, you are thanking God. You can open your mouth right there where you are and begin to talk to God about that problem. You can tell God, Lord God, this is what I need from you. This is the divine intervention I need from you. Thank you, precious Lord, because I know you have done it. Thank you, precious Lord, because I know you love me. Thank you, precious Lord, because I know that your will concerning this situation has been established. And in this thanksgiving, the peace of God becomes your experience. In the midst of the storm, you begin to dance. When people are crying, casting down, you are shouting, lifting up. Hallelujah. This is how to experience God's peace in the midst of the storm. So the first thing we are establishing here is that the believer's disposition towards every challenge is not to worry, but to pray. The believer's alternative to any problem is prayer. For instance, if we have two persons experiencing the same thing, one person is a believer and another person is not a believer, the unbeliever is permitted to fear, the unbeliever is permitted to worry. But you yourself, your own alternative to worry is to talk to God about it and to rejoice about it and to thank him about it. And then you begin to experience God's peace. That is how to experience God's peace in the midst of the storm. No wonder Jesus said that you shouldn't worry about what to eat and drink. That our Father in heaven, you have a Father in heaven who knows already what you need. Pagans are people who cry over what to eat and drink. Pagans are people who cry in the storm. There are people who fear in the storm. The reason is simple. The reason is because their faith is not in God. They don't even know God for them to put their trust in Him. This is not to say that there will never be a time when you experience tough challenges and you begin to worry. But this is to tell you that as your flesh may want you to worry, you are the one to subject it to obey the word of God. The word of God says you should do what? You should pray about everything. So first of all, we've established that our disposition to every challenge is prayer, not worry. And we have also established that in talking to God about our challenges, we do that in the mood of thanksgiving. And thirdly, we have established that prayer in the midst of challenges sponsors the experience of God's peace. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you." Look at that. The only reason the Bible is asking us, the only reason the writers of these places are asking us to talk to God about it is because they are sure that God cares about us. Give all your worries to God and cares. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. So when you find yourself, so Peter is not trying to say you cannot worry. Yes, you can worry. It means that you can see yourself in a situation where you are lost in worries. But I'm reminding you of the word of God. The word of God is saying, give God the problem. Give God the worries. All these worries should not be yours. Give them to God. Hand it over to God and trust Him, because He does what? He cares. He cares for you. He is your Father in heaven. You can call on Him anytime you want. You can call on Him anytime you want. That is His word. Yesterday we saw that we can come to the throne of grace with boldness. Praise the Lord. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. So we pray because God hears. We do what? We pray because God hears. And when we pray, it means we are relying on God for direction and revelation. Hallelujah. Yesterday, when we were talking about the Word of God, we saw that the Word of God is a guide, and the Word of God is a headlight. It's a bima. Now, here again, we are seeing that by praying, we are doing two things. Number one, we are relying on God for direction. And number two, we are sourcing revelations from God. We are sourcing revelations from God. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 34 verse 17, "The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help." I told you that everything we've been discussing about in prayers as regards to this series will be in line with the theme of this series, with the topic of this series. Psalms 34 verse 17 says, "The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles." The Bible says all their troubles. There is no kind of trouble that God does not rescue His people from, even the one they got themselves into. There is no challenges that God does not rescue those He loves from, even the ones they got themselves into. Sometimes the problem and the reason why you are not receiving answers is because you are not praying. Sometimes the reason why you aren't receiving answers is because you are not casting all your worries to God. Sometimes the first thing many of us do when we find ourselves in a challenge is to start panicking. The first thing many of us do is to start running helter-skelter. But the truth is that God wants us to talk to Him about it. It's not as though whether you talk about it or not, God doesn't know. God knows. But in talking to God about it, you are giving God the right. You are permitting God to come into the situation. God doesn't just like to barge into our lives like that. Joshua said, "As for me, choose you today who to serve. For me and my family will serve the Lord." Even though the Lord is our creator, He has given us that opportunity, that freedom to make a choice, and whatever choice you make determines the experience you have. So by praying, you are permitting God to come into the situation and to do His will in that situation. Whatever He wants to make out of that situation, let Him go ahead. That's what you are doing by prayer. So it says, "The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles." And then in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, we see something else. It says, "Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you don't know about things to come." That is why I said that prayer means we are relying on God for direction and revelation. So when we talk to God, when we ask God, He tells us remarkable secrets. The Bible calls it remarkable secrets. Secrets that are remarkable. God can tell you the root cause of your problems. God can give you insight on how to come out of that problem. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you believe. I don't care your logic. But what I know is that when we call upon Him, He does what? He answers. When we call upon Him, He hears. When we call upon Him, He gives us revelation. No wonder Paul was praying for the church. He was praying for his proteges and all of that. He was praying that the Lord give them insight, that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that the eyes of their understanding be opened for them to know the riches and inheritance they have in Christ Jesus. This tells you that when you ask God, He does what? He tells you remarkable secrets. You can depend on God for answers. You can depend on God for answers and not on your emotions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that that is James chapter 5 verse 16, that the prayer of the righteous avails much. It availeth much. The New Living Translation says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Hallelujah. The fervent prayer of a righteous man, it makes power available. It is a fervent prayer. When you read the word fervent prayer or earnest prayer or heartfelt prayer, it means a consistent prayer. It means something you pray until something happens. I talked about praying until something happens, and I said sometimes we don't pray until something happens. We pray because something happens when we pray. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't pray until something happens. We pray simply because something happens when we pray. So the fervent prayer of a righteous man makes power available. And right where you are, you may be wondering, "But I did one wrong or the other yesterday. But I told a lie yesterday. But I misbehaved yesterday. I misbehaved this very minute. So am I a righteous person?" You may be asking yourself, "Am I a righteous person?" The truth is that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, "He that is united with God," or with the Lord, "is of one spirit with Him." The Bible says, "You are born of incorruptible seed." Your righteousness is not based on your own efforts. It's based on what Christ has done. So you qualify as a righteous person. And when you pray as a righteous person, it makes power available. It makes power available. Hallelujah. When you pray as a righteous person, it makes power available. It makes power tremendously available. The reason why a lot of people are not praying sometimes is because of guilt consciousness, sin consciousness. You are righteous, but sin consciousness can prevent you from getting answers. Sin consciousness can prevent you from getting answers. The Bible says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. In that circumstances, you are looking for wonderful results. Go ahead and pray earnestly. It is called heartfelt prayer. Heartfelt prayer, not the kind of prayer you pray in the morning before you leave for work. Maybe you are leaving very late to work and you just quickly rushed through the prayers. You know, the prayer you pray when you are feeling sleepy. You just throw yourself on the bed and you say, oh well, God, look at me now, I'm about to sleep, just, you know, the desires of my heart, go ahead and do them. No, the Bible calls it heartfelt prayer. Sometimes I like to define heartfelt prayer by being in your prayer. You put yourself and put yourself into your prayers. Let your spirit be involved in that prayer. It's not a prayer of carnality. It is not a prayer of emotions. Let your spirit be involved in that prayer. Let your spirit be involved in that prayer. Sometimes that is what happens when we pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. I feel like talking about other aspects of prayer, but I want to just focus on what we are discussing in this series. I think we're going to do a series on prayer, but that's not going to be now. All right? So the Bible says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. First of all, deal with that sin consciousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you want to pray, when you want to lift your hands and talk to the Lord, when you want to kneel down on your feet and talk to the Lord, when you want to stay in a quiet place and talk to the Lord, the first disposition of your heart should be, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He hears me when I pray. When I pray, I produce wonderful results. Stay in the place of prayer long enough. Now, before we summarize on this, because we've got no time again, but before we summarize on this, I'm going to be showing us the hindrances to our prayers, certain things that can hinder our prayer. The first thing that can hinder, the Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 6, I like picking my points from scriptures. I like picking my points from the word. The Bible says, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. You see that? When you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Sometimes we pray to God while our faith is in man. Sometimes someone is sick, someone is not feeling fine, someone is going through serious health challenges. We assume we are praying to God, but our faith is in the hospital. Our faith is in the doctor. Our faith is in the professionalism of the medical sector. Sometimes we are praying to God for divine intervention in our visions, divine intervention in our ministries, divine interventions in our careers, but then our faith is in our boss, our faith is in our employers, our faith is in our uncles, in our relatives, in our rich relatives. And many times, those places we put our faith in, they will always disappoint us. So when you are praying, ensure that your faith is in God alone. The Bible says, be sure your faith is in God alone. It says God alone, not just your faith being in God, but being in God alone, trusting God alone. It says, do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. When you waver, when you are putting your faith in someone else, when you are putting your faith somewhere else, when you are putting your faith in the government, in the solutions the government have, in the campaign promises of the president and all of that, when you are putting your faith in people, or when you are dividing your faith, you are praying but you are trusting the ideas of people and all of that, when you are thinking like that, it means you are not fully loyal to God. You are not fully loyal to God. You are praying to God, yes, but you also believe that men can do what God can do. God does not like to share his glory with anybody. God does not like to share his glory with man. So when you pray, even if God uses someone else to help you, you will know that this is the Lord's doing. But when you pray and then your faith is in somewhere else, in someone else, you will begin to feel like, I know I prayed, but my uncle helped me because he is rich. No, that is not what God wants. God wants to take all the credit. So one hindrance to our prayers could be divided loyalty. It could be doubt. It could be doubt in God. So it could be lack of faith, lack of absolute faith. Then the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 from verse 14 to 15, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know that he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he gives us what we ask for. Hallelujah. We know that he gives us what we ask for. So we are confident. We should put all our confidence in him whenever we ask for anything that does what that pleases him. So another hindrance to prayer would be asking for what does not please him. 1 John 5:14-15, what we read before, it says we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for something that pleases him. So when you are asking for what is not his will, when you are asking for what doesn't please God, when you are asking things selfishly, when you are asking out of your own carnality, it doesn't please God. And he may not hear your requests. Not that he may not hear, he may not answer them. So asking outside the will of God is one of the hindrances to our prayers. And then in Matthew chapter 18 verse 35, this is Jesus speaking. He said, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. If you read the entire place, this is the story. Jesus was telling a story of an unforgiving servant. Unforgiveness can be a major hindrance to prayers. Unforgiveness can be a major hindrance to prayers. In fact, Jesus said that when you are giving, when you are doing your thanksgiving, when you are giving an offering, and then you remember that you are still quarreling with someone, you still have grudges against someone, the first thing you do is to do what? Leave the offering. Forgiveness is more important to God than sacrifices. Forgiveness is more important to God than sacrifices. And then because of time, I won't be going so much further. But I want to talk about forgiveness a bit. Forgiveness is very important. Forgiveness cleans your heart. Forgiveness sets your heart free. In fact, the greatest form of bondage is the one you put yourself in without even knowing. Unforgiveness is like putting yourself in bondage and not even knowing that you are the one who put yourself in bondage. It's like locking up yourself in a cage and not knowing who you are with the key to open up yourself from that cage. So many people are dying of various kinds of sicknesses because of unforgiveness. Forgiveness, bitterness, anger, all of these things, they are not good for even your physical health. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are certain things God will not permit for you to have if he doesn't trust you can handle it. There are certain things God will not permit you to have if he doesn't trust you can handle it. So while you pray, you've also got to let your works and your behaviors and your actions be in agreement with what you are asking God for. This is one of the things we'll be dealing with tomorrow. In our next episode, we'll be dealing extensively with this. Praise the Lord. So remember what we said. We talked about today, we talked about prayer, and we say that in every circumstances we do not worry, rather we do what? We pray. The believer's alternative to worry is what? Is prayer. And this is where we come to the end of this section. Try to listen to these teachings over and over again, and try to study the Bible passages that I mentioned here. All right, thank you so much for participating in this series. Tomorrow we'll be continuing with other aspects of this teaching.
Thank you for listening. George will continue this teaching in the next episode. Remember, we are dealing on the topic accessing divine help. Stay connected with the free George's Diary app on Google Play Store, or follow George's teachings on social media platforms using the hashtag GracefulGeorge.